Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Victoria University political scientist John Johansson is well known as one of those guys who pops up on our screens every election night to make sense of what's going on, and let's be frank, help fill all those hours of telly when no one's got a clue what's going on. With the election just a week away, I spoke to John earlier this week about his thoughts on Campaign 08. John, what's been your take on the campaign so far? I mean, has it been an exciting one for you in the terms of New Zealand election campaigns?
Well, compared to 2005, Damien, absolutely not. I mean, it's actually been, it's like we had a phony war from when Clark announced the campaign beginning. And really, you know, it's been remarkable to me, the absence of flyers through the letterbox, the lack of real partisanship that we saw in 05. And I sort of figure that in 05, you know, Brash was such a galvanising figure. You know, people were either for him or against him. And there was such a contrast between the policy programs of the two respective parties that people really got into that election. And, of course, voting turnout actually increased in 05. But this time around, you have people that are, you know, tiring of a third-term Labor government. And yet you have the opposition party is painting itself as sort of the inheritor of that government and has picked up so much of its policy inheritance that you don't feel that a great issues are at stake this time around.
Do you think that John Key is not the same polariser that that Don Brash was then?
Oh, he certainly isn't. I mean, I noticed a couple of anecdotal reports where John Key was out there campaigning on the stump and people didn't actually know who he was. And that's him. He's sort of, you know, the chameleon that sort of is so incredibly agreeable to whoever is the next person in front of him, that he doesn't polarise people. The question is he differentiating himself and offering himself as a really different sort of leader from what we have with Clark? Because Clark's such a known commodity for both good and ill. You know, she's a formidable rock, you know, that he has to try and knock off.
What do you think of Labour's approach in this campaign?
The only real flaw I've seen it was Clark's intemperate response after that first debate, where it was one of the rarest occasions for that formidable steel trap mind of Clark, where mouth was engaged before brain. Other than that, I actually think Labour have been at, you know, run the stronger campaign. Their message has been, I think, a better message for what it's trying to achieve. Its advertising is you know, a role reversal of 05 and is a far sharper than, you know, these incredibly tepid national billboards that we've seen around the place. So I think, you know, Clark would be happy, and as we, you know, head into this last week, Clark, I think, is refining her message as she does and honing it into just painting this contrast, Labour plus Greens versus National Enact, vote National and you'll get Douglas. That type of shtick. That's where she wants that last week to be, you know, the frame for Labour.
So do you think then, I mean, if you're thinking Labour have run a very solid campaign, that if Labour don't end up forming the next government, that really it's through no fault of theirs, or it just wasn't winnable?
Yeah, it just wasn't winnable. You know, I've always thought that 08 represented a change point, and that really if the change wave is big enough, all Key had to do was stand on the beach and step aside and let it break across the shore. And, you know, at his best, Key is very good at doing that. But, you know, at various times he's been undermined by some of his spokespeople. And you know, you just still don't get a real good sense here of what it is that we would be voting for in voting for National.
I mean, if you look at the potential gaffes over the campaign, they have almost exclusively belonged to National. I mean, you've had the issue over the Transrail shares, you've had Maurice Williamson talking about toll roads, you've had the Kiwi Bank, Bill English's comments about Kiwi Bank. I mean, there's any number, right down to Maurice Williamson holding the sign upside down at the National Party launch. None of this seems to have stuck.
Well, we'll see on the day, mate. We'll see on the day. It's
Are you surprised it's not closer?
I think there's, in essence, there's two parallel ideas about how this campaign is going. If one follows the Colmar Brunton polls and the Herald Digi polls, you think that National is on the verge of a historic rout of the Labour Party. And if you pay attention to Roy Morgan and to TV3, then you've got a far more closer election. You know, this poll disparity is actually incredibly frustrating, I think, for voters and for people like me who are into elections. So there's this parallel universe. So I don't actually, you know, my gut tells me that it's going to be closer than the picture that's been painted by the, you know, the Colmar Brunton view of the politics, you know.
David Slack and I were talking last week on the show, and David said that it has been many, many, many years, even under FVP, since National, for example, has had more than 50% of the vote. So you think there's no chance of that happening?
No, I don't. I really don't. The only circumstance in which I thought that we could get an unusual result that could push National up to those sorts of levels is the circumstance where there's an underlying real groundswell of discontent towards MMP itself. And so people, in effect, want to clear house, and the only way of clearing house is giving National the opportunity of governing alone. Now, you know, is that happening? I don't sense it is. And, you know, I've really always thought that if National got 45% on the diet, that would represent actually a very good campaign and a, you know, good result for National. National's perennial problem is its strategy that it's employed towards other parties, which means that it's an all-or-nothing strategy. So if it doesn't get this 47-48, all of a sudden, through its own actions, it could leave itself high and dry.
Because at this point, I mean, you've got National saying they won't work with New Zealand First. You've got the Greens saying they won't work with National. You could see many possibilities where Labour will still be able to form the next government, even though they got fewer votes on the night.
Yeah, you bet. I think what is clear is you have Labour and the Greens as one block, and then you have National and ACT as one block, although with the asterisks around ACT, only an ACT that doesn't have Douglas in a National cabinet, which is an interesting bit of gear too. And then you've got the mulch in between, and the interest on the night is going to be, does Winston get back? The extent of which there's going to be an overhang, and whether the Maori Party is going to end up in the you know, kingmaker position.
You've had a lot to say, and you mentioned it. I think you touched on it before when you were talking about John Key and the waves breaking on the beach. You've written that John Key represents the beginning of a generational change in politics. Is that right?
Not quite. I thought John Key had the potential of being a transitional figure from the baby boomer generation, because I, you know, locate Key, who's the same age as myself, as the sort of, you know, I call it the Dipton end of the baby boomers, the, you know, literally the arse end of the baby boomer generation, and that we're a transition generation until the first of the Gen Xers rise to power. Now, in our current setup, the only generational X leader we have is Russell Norman. And actually, if you pay close attention to Russell, his sort of ideas, the way he thinks about politics, they are qualitatively different from John Key's, and, you know, let alone Clark's, which a lot of political actors find, you know, disconcerting with Russell Norman. So I think Key had the opportunity to be a change agent, but, you know, he's so signed on to such a significant degree of Labour's policy inheritance that he actually looks more like the status quo than a change agent. If you look at the rhetoric of Key's National, there is no new generational language in that stuff at all. And so I sort of think we're in a holding pattern, and you know, my perspective on this is that we're actually still in the end game of the era of Rogernomics.
So Key possibly isn't the Barack Obama that he paints himself as being?
He is unlike Barack Obama in so many significant ways that we could extend the show for as long as you like as I went through them, mate.
Just finally, John, dirty politics. There were accusations last week of National taking a leaf from the American campaigns. You've watched some American campaigns very, very closely. Any truth in that at all?
No. Like, you know, the Labor sort of negative satire of Key and his ability to speak out of both sides of his mouth at once is just, you know, is in the same class of that Taxathon ad from 05, humorous, but in the US, man, like the Willie Horton ad in George Herbert Walker Bush's age era, you know, which was actually linking black people and rape and this sort of thing, has never found its way to our shores, thankfully.
I think that does sound like a good thing. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Coming up after the break, we find out what really goes on behind the Standard, and we hear the sultry sounds of Lady Six.